I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay. Come through, queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan.
And James.
And this is Come Through Queen.
I have to go to Fashion Week, and I have to go to the trade shows. I have appearances. I have red carpets.
Wow. Jimbo to the show, back in the seat, taking over co-host duties for Brendan this week while he is out there fighting for our rights. Thank you, James.
I am thrilled to be here. Once again, it's an honor and a privilege. Brendan, we love you, as you said, out there fighting for our rights. And, listen, yeah. I consider myself to be Come Through Queen's official Hollywood correspondent.
Reporting straight out of LA.
Straight out of Los Angeles. I'm like Hollywood adjacent. I'm on that, you know, entertainment beat out here in LA. So that's insane. Okay, I'm happy to be here.
Well, that perspective will be perfect for the Beverly Hills news that we will get to.
Yes.
Before we get to that, though, I do want to first point people in the direction of, we just warmed ourselves up with a fun pre-show where James shouted the praises of some fabulous television shows, an artist out of the UK I've never heard of, giving us all like the need to know information.
Yes, trying to. Yes.
Besides that, if you're missing Brendan this week, our Patreon bonus episode is a recap of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, the episode with Melania's birthday, where Gia sings, waking up in the morning, thinking about so many things.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know you guys were doing that. I'm so excited.
We have that in the bank, and then we're releasing it this week in honor of like what a TikTok trend this has become.
Listen, I'm not even on TikTok, and I know that that is blowing up right now. That's oof, wow, so dark that song. But you know what? Hey, at least yeah. It's getting Gia some play. So you know what?
This girl is screaming for this to stop.
Iconic behavior. Oh my goodness.
While we're on the New Jersey train, you need to go to the Come Through Queen Instagram account at Come Through Queen Podcast. We've partnered with Strand to give away 3 signed copies of Margaret Joseph's new book, Caviar Dreams tuna fish budget. So in order to enter to win, what you need to do is follow both Strand Bookstore and Come Through Queen Podcast on Instagram. You need to like the post promoting the digital event that Strand is hosting for Margaret Josephs and comment in that post tagging a friend. So it's one entry per person. You have until Monday to enter, and we will announce the winner on Tuesday morning, the day of the event, and we'll contact you by DMs, set it all up, and how great is that?
That's so exciting. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. Oh my goodness. That.
Okay, so, and then also, Brendan and I will be at the virtual event, and you may even see us pop on screen asking Marge a question.
Oh my goodness. See, that's reason enough right there to enter, just to see your beautiful fachias at that event. So I love it.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we have a lot of news to get to. Yes. I do first want to get to the LA news since you're with us.
Because I'm on that Beverly Hills beat. I'm just, you know,
okay,
stomping up and down Rodeo Drive every day, just making it happen.
So realityt.com is reporting that Sutton Strack is reportedly full-time for season 11 of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Sutton Strack was a polarizing figure last season on Beverly Hills. She was only a friend of Housewives for season 10, but she managed to stir up enough drama. Sutton is wealthy and informed everyone that she only wears couture. Sutton was appalled by Kyle Richards not having place cards at her dinner party during a game of first impressions. Sutton told pregnant Teddy Mellencamp that she was boring.
Wow.
So I guess all that earned her a diamond. James, we thought we were going to get a Beverly Hills trailer this week, and that did not occur.
Sad. Sad.
What do you make of Sutton getting a diamond? What do you make of the upcoming season of Beverly Hills? Are you excited? What's the word on the street in LA right now?
Everybody is buzzing in Los Angeles. No, I'm kidding. I'm literally like 9 miles from Beverly Hills. Could not be further away in terms as far as Los Angeles goes. But
no, but I think the cast members are even further away than you are.
Let's talk about it. I've been doing like a kind of like light Beverly Hills kind of like look back. I started watching season 2 just kind of out of boredom and just needed some comfort. And then that rolled into 3, and now I'm like halfway through 4, which is kind of a dud of a season. But anyway, to your point, very few of the housewives have actually lived in the city of Beverly Hills. Like, you know, so many of them are just so scattered around kind of like the general LA area. What do I make of this news? To be honest, I have not followed Beverly Hills much over the past couple seasons, namely because everyone has been, namely, like, I feel like you and Brendan have been just been like, it's not great, to be honest. Like, it just hasn't been popping off much recently. I mean, I know there was like the Denise season, the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo of it all. Yeah. Like, that seemed pretty thrilling, just breaking the fourth wall. Like, for sure. Like, I could dip back and look at that. But I do know that you and Brendan and a lot of other folks in the Come Through Queen universe stan, or lightly stan, perhaps, Sutton Strack.
Oh yeah, so, we're only lightly standing in 2021.
Sure, fair enough.
We're not fully standing.
We've been burned before. We're not going to get burned again. I totally get it. So this is good. I mean, this is good news. Yeah, for Sutton.
Well, So I feel like the reason she allegedly did not get it last season that we've talked about before is because she couldn't show her children, which for some reason, like, is a prerequisite or something. But like, Sonia Morgan, like, forged the path of not having to show your child so that future housewives would not have to show their children if they can't.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that precedent's already been set. So that doesn't seem to hold much water, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, to maybe promote the Margaret Josephs book again, I do have to say, I am interested to tune into that because she talks about her son in there, which she has not done so on the television program.
Sure.
So I'm curious to see like that window into her life that we have not seen.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine in a book she is able to take a few more liberties in terms of what she can share and yada, yada.
Exactly.
Yada. So that's great. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. I think part of the reason why the Beverly Hills trailer might have gotten delayed is because of some other Andy Cohen related news that was released this week. So E! News reports Andy Cohen announces Keeping Up with the Kardashians reunion in a hilarious trailer. So Keeping Up with the Kardashians is getting the Andy Cohen reunion treatment. On Wednesday, April 7th, it was revealed that the Keeping Up with the Kardashians reunion will be coming following the final season's conclusion later this year. And if that wasn't exciting enough news, a new teaser confirmed that the King of Bravo reunions will be hosting the Look Back event on E!
Wow.
So, wow. I feel like so many reality programs that Brendan and I have watched in the past were like, we need a reunion. We need an Andy Cohen reunion.
Yes. Yes. The...
Because I feel like other programs, they'll try to host a reunion and like whatever host is doing it doesn't bring to the table what Andy brings to the table.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Say what you will about Andy Cohen, but I think he is very proficient at kind of navigating the reunion space and kind of like managing that conversation. I mean, he's obviously had so much experience. I mean,
yeah,
that teaser was like, I don't know. What did you think about the little like?
Well,
this is like the.
Well, you know, it was a nod to like that viral. They did like a viral thing where they called a bunch of, I think it was like some of their like either partners or exes or people they have relationships with, like all of them calling in a video call, like blank faced in a FaceTime.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a reference.
Okay. This is what happens when you aren't on social media much anymore. Okay. Cause I was like, what am I missing here? Cause I was just kind of like, just like a slight smile, like watching the Kardashians kind of do this thing. But I was like, I'm missing something here. Okay, that makes perfect sense. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And they're going to cover all, so they're going to do one reunion attempting to cover all 20 seasons of material in some fashion.
Yeah. 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 I mean, like, obviously, we can't go back in time and like reunite for each season. So, like, we're taking what we could get.
Sure. Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, big question, is it going to be in the round? Like, what's the COVID, you know, reunion seating of it all going to be like?
Well, Andy did interview them, like the sisters and Chris, I think recently for his special that's been airing on E, where he's been doing like I think it's like a 6-part special on looking back on reality television, like the competition shows, the housewives, the this, the that, like all of that.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I think like once you are within the Kardashian compound, you are cleared in terms of like COVID, like you have gone under like rigorous testing.
Sure. It is a secure zone. I would love to be there, to be honest. I'm going driving out to Calabasas right now. I love it.
Okay. Get on set, please, as our correspondent. Okay, but speaking of Andy Cohen, we do have something out of Page Six about an upcoming Watch What Happens Live special that I'm actually kind of excited about. So Andy Cohen says two housewives are upset over Watch What Happens Live kids special. So Page Six reports, don't mess with a mama bear. Andy Cohen revealed that two Real Housewives contacted him to ask why their daughters were left out of his upcoming Watch What Happens Live special featuring some of the stars' children. Andy said on Sirius, first of all, I will say I heard from two moms yesterday saying, why wasn't my daughter included? It was just a lot to have 13 people. So the special is going to include Kim Zolciak's daughter, Brielle Bierman, Candy Burris's daughter, Riley Burris, Dolores' son, Frankie Catania, Teresa's daughter, Gia Giudice, Vicky's daughter, Brianna, as well as Gina's son, Shane Keough, Luann's Victoria De Lesseps, Caroline Manzo's sons, Albie and Chris Manzo, Brooks Marks out of Salt Lake City, Cynthia's daughter, Noelle Robinson, Avery Singer, and Sheree's son, Cairo Whitfield.
My head.
Who are you excited to see?
My head is spinning right now. Oh my goodness.
13 people. Who are you excited of that group to see?
Okay. I mean, I'm excited to see them all. I think it's, I mean, I feel like they did a decent job kind of curating that group. I mean, of course, there's like, there are some honorable mentions that could have gotten the invite, but sure. I think we were talking about this in the Facebook group or in the group chat, I can't remember, but to see Gia Giudice with the Manzo boys.
Yeah, yeah.
To see what that dynamic is like. I mean, I'm sure like there's going to be no I can't imagine that, like, they're going to fight over anything at this point. But, like, curious to see, like, how they interact in 2021.
Well, that's why I think, like, it's almost like it's 13 is too many. Because they've done stuff like this on Watch What Happens Live before. Like, a night of 100 Housewives where it's just, like, you spend, like, 2 minutes with them each. Right. You know?
Well, I'm hoping that this will... Well, I have two thoughts. I'm hoping that this will kind of, like, lay the groundwork for maybe more Housewives kids content. Like, I've always... I don't know. I've rewatched OC a million times. Like, I know, embarrassing. Yeah. But, like, I've always, like, imagined, like, like a season, like, where it's, like, Brianna, like, Kara Keo. You know what I mean? Like, all those kids kind of, like coming into their own and kind of, like, doing their own thing.
Sure.
Well, who would you have included that was left out?
I bet you... One potential mama bear that contacted Andy was a Jill Zarin asking, where is Ali Shapiro?
You know, Jill picked up that phone immediately and just fired off that call. You know she did. Mm. Yeah, because they didn't specify. Did they specify who the... Sorry, remind me. They didn't specify who, like, the mama bear.
No.
Sorry. Yeah.
No.
I mean, I'm going to regret saying this, but why aren't Lynn... Curtin's daughter is invited. Get Raquel and Alexia in there.
I feel like they're not doing well.
I know.
So that's probably why. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That might be why. Yeah. Is there anyone you're missing besides
the Curtin girls? Oh, that's a good question. No, I mean... Again, I think they did a nice job kind of like spreading the love around the cities, I think. It's an interesting like kind of like age demographic too. You have like Brianna Culberson, who's like my age in her like mid-30s, down to Gia, who's 19. Sure. It's just like a nice kind of like cross-section of everybody. So
yeah, I feel like there are people I would have liked to like pop up with their parent, like a Jagger, Phoenix Kemsley, like being held by Dorit,
sure.
Like in her care,
right?
You know,
right? No, 100%. I'm also Kyle Richardson didn't get any love in that, did she? None of Kyle's girls were invited.
I don't. Do we even have like a single Beverly Hills child? No, I don't think so.
Wow, that's an interesting point.
Not even a single Umansky.
Because in my brain, I was like, oh, well, there's like Pandora Vanderpump, like whatever. And then I was like, oh, because like Kyle, I feel like would have maybe Kyle's that. Maybe Kyle's the second call. It's Jill Zarin.
Yes, she could.
Jill Zarin and Kyle Richards, maybe.
Wow. But like, that's the thing. Like, none of her daughters besides Portia. But like, even then, it's like enough.
Portia. I know. We've got enough of those girls. So I'm excited. Wow. That'll be fun.
Okay, our last big news item this week is that Bravo will continue to film Jen Shah's legal drama after fraud arrest. Again, this is from Page Six. Jen Shah may be facing prison, but her Real Housewives of Salt Lake City drama is not going anywhere soon. The powers that be at Bravo are planning to make the federal fraud and money laundering charges she faces as a central part of the reality show's second season, including exclusive footage of the embattled businesswoman's arrest, a source told Page Six.
Wow.
The insider says Bravo knows full well what viewers are following, that they're following every detail of this case and will continue to do so as it progresses. So producers plan to follow it just as closely and use whatever footage they legally can.
Oh, my God.
All right. Brendan's been following this. How deep into Salt Lake City did you get? Did you watch any of it?
All of it.
Are you like feeling it?
All of it.
All of it.
Watched the whole season. I welcomed the opportunity to start a new franchise from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
Just like as a, you know, I'm a solid Housewives fan. I can't pretend to be a completist. You know, I've kind of like dipped in and out, but like,
sure.
I love the product. But like there were so many reasons with Salt Lake. I was like, I'm so intrigued because it's like, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, I'm immediately interested,
like,
right?
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Exactly. And B, just like the simple opportunity to embark on a new journey, clean slate, new women from scratch, like start from the jump.
And you're speaking the same language as everyone else watching the show.
Yep. I'm like totally synced up with everybody. So yeah, I was like fully in on Salt Lake. I had a great time with it. I just thought it was so, so different. I mean, I don't know. It was just that group of women was just such a nice cocktail. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, is it safe to say, like, I'm still reeling from the Jen Shah news, like nearly 2 weeks later. I mean, it's just
1 week. We're one week in.
Is it 1 week?
Yeah.
It feels like it's been like a month. That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah. Just to see, you know, her arc on the season and then to kind of like, you know, it wasn't fully resolved in the reunion, but it kind of landed in a place where you're like, oh, we're kind of like setting her up for season two. Right. And then to have this just kind of like come out
of redemption season.
Yeah, totally. They set her up for a redemption season. And we were all just kind of like, regardless of how you thought, you're like, okay, well, we've kind of like, we've tied this up as much, you know, we've buttoned this up as much as we can. And then like this kind of totally out of nowhere. And it's just like, oh my goodness. I mean, as a viewer with this news, like, I mean, I'm thrilled. Like, as a viewer of the show, I'm like, sure, of course.
As a human?
As like a citizen of this country that tries to empathize with her, like, oh, if I were in that situation, I mean, that's like, it's like, Jen, you know, maybe just like gracefully step away, deal with this, you know, if.
Don't incriminate.
Do not. I mean, honestly, like, yes.
I'm thinking with like my legal hat on. Don't incriminate.
Oh, 100%.
Like, what lawyer is allowing her to do this is my question.
100%. That is the big question. Just like, who was like, it's a great idea. Keep filming. Like, who said that?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, again, you put your viewer hat on and you're just like, great. You know? So,
wow.
It's all happening.
It's all happening. Okay, why don't we kick it over to our shows this week, and we'll start with Atlanta.
Atlanta.
So we are in New Orleans.
We're in New Orleans. Yes, we are.
James, I know you have caught up with Atlanta, because like of the shows currently airing, you were not as tuned in to what was currently happening.
Yes. So Atlanta, first of all, when I went to go dip back in and I like queued up a couple of the episodes on iTunes and I was like, season 13? It is season 13 of Atlanta. That blew my mind. I don't know. I just like, Atlanta's a franchise that I've kind of like dipped in and out of. I was like pretty hardcore at the beginning and then, you know, I've kind of ebbed and flowed. Yeah. But yeah, I gotta say one thing, you know, preparing to be on this podcast with you this week, like, I have to say one thing I learned, it is not hard to jump back into a franchise that you have not been watching. I believe personally, like I was worried about Atlanta because I was just like, I don't think I've watched a full season of Atlanta in 7 years. You know what I mean? It's been like a long time. So I was just like, and I, you know, I kind of follow what's going on just like with the podcast and all that, but like, but I don't know. I was really nervous about Atlanta specifically because I was just like, I have not checked in on these women in a long time, but it was like, it was not hard, you know?
That's interesting because like for Atlanta, I was worried in terms of like, there are points in other cities franchises or like even somewhere else where I'd be like, okay, like this is a good episode for you to jump in to catch up where we currently are.
Sure.
Whereas in Atlanta, like nothing has, like the Bolo episode is like what we're talking about. So like, I guess that would be it. But like, besides that, there's not like a good point to like jump in.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you texted this to me kind of as we were preparing for this, you were just like, just watch the last two episodes. It's a trip, you know, which is kind of like a nice, like encapsulated thing, you know?
Sure.
I had a great time. I don't know. I had a great time with them. Yeah. I mean, it was like,
I'm surprised. Cause like the fans are, I feel like for the most part are not loving Atlanta this season.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Again, I haven't been going week by week. I have not been like fully saturated with Atlanta. So I might be coming at it from like a different place, but, nice to see some familiar faces and nice to see some new faces. Yeah. So let's get into it.
I mean, I think like the thing with Atlanta is that even when like what's going on is not great, as characters on a television show, they're very interesting and like,
I agree,
can move it along.
Yes. Yes. I think they're very proficient in this craft. And I think they're also like, they are entertaining women, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like,
exactly.
The shade is on point. It's just like, it's just great, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in Atlanta. What's been going on?
Well, we're with your fan favorite, Big Frida.
Big Frida. I know. I know. Oh my goodness.
I feel like this was truly like James is a Big Frida fan.
I would go so far as to say Stan. Like I, this is probably like 10 years ago, maybe 2011. She was in town and she did a show at Brooklyn Bowl.
And you went.
And I went with a couple of friends. Yeah. Yeah. They were like, you have to come catch the show. It's going to be crazy. Wild. Just like so much fun. She is such an entertainer. Just like playing this like New Orleans bounce show at like Brooklyn Bowl in Williamsburg for like all these white hipsters. Yeah. It was just like wild.
Yeah.
But anyway, so great to see her on the screen. And I kind of loved the setup, just like getting in Big Frida's kitchen, you know?
I felt kind of bad because like, I don't think she wanted what transpired.
100%. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Like, she was not feeling it at all.
Not at all. Yeah. I mean, I wonder. I mean, like, it's tough. I mean, if I were hosting the Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know, to shoot a scene with them, you know what I mean? I would,
yeah.
I think I would kind of like temper my expectations a little bit, but
yeah.
I think
yeah,
Big
yeah.
Frida just, she seems like such a sweetheart and just like, she seems like all about love and just, you know, we saw that in kind of like her addressing the group, you know what I mean? But,
well, I do think like also Marlo, who's normally someone I like love and ride with like all the time, was so weird in terms of being like, Big Frida, let me ask you, if there was a friend that talked to this other friend and was like, she was like speaking in riddles that like, Big, like how is Big Frida supposed to respond
this, to this? Like, it was just, she queued it up as this like grand hypothetical, just like,
if
a friend of mine, hypothetically, and I'm just like, the two people you were talking about are literally 2 feet away from you, just like call it out, you know? And I was just thinking like, just leave Big Frida out of it, honestly. Like,
leave
her out of it. Like, if you want to, like, get into it, if you want to bring it up and, like, kind of, like, hash it out with the other women, like, go for it. But just, like, do not pull Big Frida into this. Like, she is just too precious. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Marla was, like, all over the map this episode, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you make of, like, Kenya v. Portia?
I mean, again, you know, to contradict what I said earlier, I mean, it did take me a minute to be like, wait, what is this fight about? Right?
Yeah,
I was just like, what are we talking about here? It's like, Portia lied about what? Like, you know, and then I was like, oh, I do know, even not watching, that there was that episode with, like, the stripper and it got wild and all that. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It became clear that that's what we're talking about here. I just found it very – I just think – we're letting this go on for too long. Like, I don't know. The triangle of it all was just very exhausting after a while. And I was just like, can we please just put this to bed? I think it just dragged on kind of incessantly, you know?
I mean, Kenya, I thought Kenya would flourish once Nini left. Cause like last season, the problem was like Kenya and Nini just hated each other to such an extent that like, we couldn't be in the same room. We couldn't film.
Right.
We couldn't do anything.
Right. Sure.
And now, like, Kenya has not learned the lesson and now is just doing it with Portia instead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that. I don't know. The dynamic just seems like a little off. And I thought, I was just kind of like, this whole episode, I was like, is this the only thing that we're chewing on right now? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like this is the central conflict that we're kind of like orienting ourselves around. And I was just like, it seems played out. Like, can we get something else in the mix, you know?
Which is unlike Atlanta, because I feel like they, like New York, are more easy breezy, like jumping from like one situation to the next.
Sure, sure. Yeah, 100%. I just
compared to like a Beverly Hills, which will have one plot for the season.
Right, right. I don't know. I was like, if I'm tired of this, having jumped in, like only having seen two episodes of this show, like I can't imagine like what kind of consistent viewers are feeling. But
so then also like the trip itself is like so sad in terms of, like, people are just leaving.
I don't know. Portia presents, or she performs as, like, to me, it was like, she's such a pro in a way. Like, her, like, after Marlo left, when her and Kenya were getting into it, like, the way she kind of played that, just, like, she was kind of, like, that, like, mocking, you know?
Yeah.
After that scene, I was just like, it did not seem like Portia was going to, like, I don't know. I'm curious how much, like, the hurricane played into it. It seemed like
the
storm was a brewing. So, like, I don't know. Maybe they were just like, I got to get out of here before it gets too crazy, you know?
Well, that seemed to be more like the Candy thing. Candy's like, oh, I have stuff to do.
Candy's got to drive back to Atlanta. I looked that up. It's like a 7-hour drive.
Yeah. That's how she arrived. Like, yeah. I do think Candy throughout the Panera Bread breakfast has been like, zipping and zagging in a car. Like, she's not been flying.
Okay.
Because when she dropped Riley off to NYU, they drove there from Atlanta.
All right. Well, listen.
Isn't that interesting? Like, she has her own little protocols going on.
Totally. Yeah. That's fair. I get it. But yeah, I don't know. I had a good time. And, you know.
Did Drew pop off the screen to you at all?
She did. She popped off. I think I wrote down, like, she presents as very confident. You know, just like she's got some kind of, like, I don't know. She just, like, I don't know, super confident, just like plays well on camera. Is this her first season?
Yes. So that's the point, is like, I feel like a lot of people they bring onto this show, like, melt under the pressure of being around all, like, the big dogs.
Yeah.
And like, Drew had like a slow start because it was a lot of like filming scenes with her not good husband. And, like, now that they're doing more group scenes in the latter half of the season, like, she's coming to her own.
Totally. No, listen, I've been impressed. I mean, I think she's been, like, the trip, like, kind of fizzled out, kind of ended up being a bust at the end. But, like, especially last week's episode, I don't know. Like, I thought she was, like, doing a pretty decent job setting it out, you know?
Yeah.
My big question was, like, how did the rest of the ladies get back to Atlanta? Because they flew down on the PJ, and it was, like, that storm was a brewing, so they didn't really.
We didn't get a clip on a PJ back.
It's like the lights were out, and then all of a sudden we were back in Atlanta. It was just like quick, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It was. I thought it was a good episode. Like
anything else in Atlanta that you have thoughts on?
Let's see. I think biggest thing is, like, I need to go back and watch that Bolo episode. I don't know if it was like one episode or like a multi-episode arc, but I was like, that seemed to be kind of the genesis of a lot of what was going on in this episode. So
yeah, I do think like it's like kind of like a two, it's like the episode and then the aftermath.
Right.
Yeah. But the funny thing is like I think the episode itself is really great and fun. And then, like, the aftermath is, like, a little bit of a dud.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're not all fully playing.
Yeah. I agree. It's, like, we kind of, like, fizzled out. It's just, like, they had that, you know, they had the scene in Big Frida's kitchen. Like, we had kind of that blowout, if you will. Oh, the only other thing. I could watch Marlo try and get out of a room and not know where she's going for hours. Did you notice that?
Oh, yes. When the lights went out and she's, like, bumbling around.
Oh, no. I was talking about back at the dinner.
Oh.
When she tried to leave the dinner in a huff and she just, like.
Oh, okay.
She, like, tried to exit and she was, like, I went the wrong way. And then she, like, came back in and just had to, like, address the woman again. And then she went the wrong way again. I was, like, I could watch Marlo navigate trying to get out of this dinner after having, like, completely popped off on these women, like, all night. So.
She's, like, the star of the show right now in my heart.
Yeah. She's, like, so messy, but, like, I love it. I can't get enough.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, I'm. Great. This was like a nice like dip back into Atlanta. Like, I really want to kind of keep up with it. So,
yeah. Okay, let's kick it over to Dallas.
Oof.
So Dallas is interesting because we have gone on. I think like Dallas more than any other city right now has gone on so many trips. It's like we go on a trip, we get back home. Let's go on another trip because there's nothing else to do.
Because this season we've done, in no particular order, Austin.
Yeah.
We did like the day trip to Grapevine. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're in Oklahoma. Was there one more that I'm forgetting? There might have been one more.
Probably.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
That's how they're passing the time. Just like traveling. Love that.
Which, like, I do have to say, compared to Atlanta and Jersey, they are stressing me out the least in terms of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's literally
that.
Just like the six of them or whatever.
It's the six of them. And I do feel like they talk about it more, you know, like I feel like it's more like it's present in their conversations. And it seems like top of mind for them, which you would hope would translate into like the way that they navigate through real life as well. But you know,
who knows? Meanwhile in Jersey, like we are throwing a like 80 person party and then like saying during the party, like everyone move in closer.
Correct. 1000%. Yeah. Jersey. So you think Jersey's number one in terms of where COVID doesn't exist.
Only in, like the only thing that could beat it is the fact that Cynthia did throw a 250 person wedding.
That could tip the scales for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. That is, that holds a little bit more weight for sure. Oh my goodness. Dallas.
Okay. But Dallas. Okay. So you are meeting Tiffany.
Oh yes.
This season.
So yeah.
How do you feel about Tiffany?
So yeah, full context. I binged the entire current season of Dallas in not the whole series, just season five.
Yeah, this season.
It was what, 13 episodes in like
really
2.5 days, every single episode.
That is so sick. It was, how is your brain still working?
I do not feel well, to be perfectly honest. Dallas is a franchise that I have kind of like dipped in and out. Mm-hmm. Certainly not a completist with Dallas, namely because...
Well, what would you say is like your most complete city?
Jersey.
Okay, yeah, I thought
so. I would say Jersey, followed closely by Orange County, sadly.
Sick.
Yeah. I know. Jersey and Orange County are my number one and number two. Cancel me. So Dallas, I just like, I mainlined it. I was just like, again, and also I just like, I had kind of like bits and bobs over the previous four seasons. So I was like, I just kind of want to commit to this.
Okay.
It's, I don't know. Dallas just, it hits different and like not in a great way. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. Dallas is floating in some upper layer of the atmosphere that just like, you know, it's just, it's got this like sugary sheen on it, you know? Yeah. And like, it's like that like super sugary drink that you're like, oh yeah, that's gonna taste good, and then you drink it and you're like, I feel so empty and I'm just like a little drunk and I want to go to sleep. That was like Dallas for me.
I mean, I think the way last week's episode ended into this week's beginning in terms of like how Deandra has fallen into accidentally being like a voice of reason on this show.
Well, 100%. I mean, like, just taking this season alone, because that has been kind of my scholarship recently.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the other girls are playing checkers. Deandra is playing chess. Truly. Like, honestly, like, I feel like Deandra's on another show in a way. You know what I mean? Like, just the way that she's navigating all this. I agree. She's just like, it's like she's grounded in a way. And she's just like, I don't know. I feel like she plays it differently, you know?
But don't forget, like, she was a Texan for Trump. Like, don't forget.
Never did I say that I stand, DeAndra Simmons. But within the context of this season and just, like, her performance on the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's doing great this season.
No, but that's what's interesting to me is that, like, she has landed in this, like, Brandy, like, you want me to just say, like, nothing about, you think the proper response is for me to say nothing about your racist video?
Correct. I mean, like, once again, Brandy, I don't even know where to start with Brandy. Like, at every possible opportunity this season, when given the chance to do the right thing and navigate it skillfully, Brandy has done the complete opposite. Honestly, it's just like at every single time. And it's just like, it's unconscionable, you know? And so like,
it's actually crazy thinking about you watching these 13 episodes. Cause you have been like hit over the head with Brandy's misdeeds over and over again.
That is fair. Like, again, this is my only context, like this current season, but.
Oh no. No, but like, I'm not criticizing that. It's just like, she has been so bad this season.
So bad. And again, like, It's always bad, you know, obviously, like, your racist actions are, like, obviously always kind of unconscionable, but, like, I don't know. Yeah. I just have to say, like, especially given kind of the events of the past couple weeks, the last month or so, just, like, we're all kind of, like, like, a renewed focus on, like, how AAPI folks are, like, treated in this country. Just to have this be going on and to have this being broadcast just makes it even more of a disservice to, like, give Brandy this pass in a way. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, she's not getting away scot-free, but it's like, I don't know. It breaks my heart to see this like redemption arc for Brandy kind of continue. You know, it's not a full redemption arc, but like.
Yeah, I don't know if we have a redemption arc. And actually, James, they filmed the reunion today. And apparently, like, word is, like, the world's abuzz right now in terms of, like, the insiders saying, like, something has happened during this reunion that, like, we've never seen before.
I'm shaking.
I'm like, I don't even know what to think. Like, people were guessing, like, oh, is Brandy fired, like, during the reunion? But that doesn't make sense to me. In my brain, like, how does Brandy show up to this reunion besides to collect her check?
That was, I mean, I feel like you guys mentioned this maybe last week or a prior week. Just, like, I could very much see her just being like, I'm not going to go. Like,
yeah,
that's it, you know? And, yeah, no, I don't think it's, like, a full redemption arc, but I don't know. I just...
Well, the thing is, a majority of the women on the cast are trying to protect her and save her.
That's it. Thank you. That is exactly it. Yeah. Just, like, and even, you know, like, so when this episode opens up, it's just, like, we're all talking about this Page Six article, and, like,
yeah,
Brandy, once again, is blaming Deandra for doing this interview because it basically, like, kind of, like, kicked up the dust in a way and made... Yeah. This headline kind of come to fruition. But like, I don't know, like read the article, like Deandra was just like doing press for the show and like getting folks to tune in. And like, I don't know. She didn't say anything disparaging about Brandy in particular. She was just like, yes, we're going to address it head on, because to Deandra's point, it's like, what did you want me to say? Like, we're not going to talk about it. That's going to make you look even worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Make you look worse. And then like, also you want me to look bad by saying like, oh, we're not going to talk about it.
Right. Right. 100%. It was just wild. And then, yeah, like, you know, the other women, and like, I'm going to leave Tiffany out of it, because like Tiffany can have whatever feelings she wants to have about it. But like,
Tiffany should not have to like fight the battle. So like,
I was
Deandra's
like,
doing it. And then like, and so then it's like Stephanie, Carrie for the most part, and Cameron,
right,
like going to bat for Brandy for some reason.
Correct. Correct. And it's like, I don't know, like, Cameron, Stephanie, Carrie, I don't know. It's just like, it does not surprise me that they were just like, especially like Stephanie, just trying to like keep the peace and just being like, yeah, like smooth it over. Just like say you made a mistake. And like Deandra had to like admit that she made a mistake, which I don't think is necessarily true.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Oh my God. It was, I don't know. It was maddening to me, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brandy in that stupid outfit once again.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I'm getting heated. So, yeah. So we're off to Oklahoma in that RV from hell. Oh my goodness.
Leaving it up to Brandy to get us there.
Leaving it up to Brandy, who is legally blind, to just like, you know, get us up to Oklahoma. Oh my God.
To hunt for Bigfoot.
To hunt for Bigfoot. That's why. That is why we're going to Oklahoma. We're gonna hunt for Bigfoot. Oh my goodness. This episode was a mess. I'm sorry.
Okay. So. I want to get to like the thing with the guy, but before we like dive deep into that, I want to say like the next morning they're saying like, oh, you went to bed early, but like, wasn't the Bigfoot hunting occurring at like 1 a.m.?
Oh, I wrote down the timestamp, 1:19 a.m. They were just like stomping through the woods in Oklahoma looking for Bigfoot with this like mountain man.
So what is early and then what is late?
I don't know. I don't know. These girls can hang, man. I was like, I would have been in bed at like 9 p.m. Please.
Carrie stays up like till the sun rises.
Carrie. Oh God. How much time do we have?
Carrie abusing this man.
I wrote down multiple times things like, Carrie is regressing. Carrie continues to be the worst. I can't handle Carrie. Like, it's just crazy at this point. Like,
yeah,
abusing this poor man. She's blackout drunk once again, you know.
With a machete in hand.
With a machete. And Stephanie, I mean, I think that was the most interesting thing is like, I feel like this whole season, Stephanie has not been doing much, right? It's like.
No. Yeah.
Not at all. And like, I mean, like, her like personal storylines are interesting and like I'm here for that. But like in terms of how she interacts with the other women, she has literally not been doing anything other than just like trying to make peace and like oh, I just want to like stay out of it and make sure everyone's friends. And it's just like, okay, bring a book, like get involved, get your hands dirty. So this was actually interesting in that she Lindsay Hubbard activated and like, activated is
generous, by crying,
by crying. And like, you know, it was like resolved by the end of the episode, but like, I don't know. I thought that was the most interesting thing. Like Stephanie trying to like navigate how to confront Carrie about it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So also I just do want to point out like Carrie is such a monster, a nightmare, machete in hand, but like, I'm okay with this. I just like, I feel like that is enough that we don't need Brandy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah.
Like Carrie's brand of monster is like good for the show, and Brandy's brand of monster is not good for the show.
Oh, for sure. Brandy's brand of monster is literally not doing anything for anyone, and it's actually dangerous. Whereas Carrie is just like blacking out and like jumping in the lake. I mean, it's like, you know, the Dallas antics that like, you know. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's just like Carrie, you know, Carrie's doing Carrie.
A villain for the show. Like, you can be, there are villains. Like, that's fine.
Sure. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've never really thought, that's an interesting way to look at it, because I've never really thought of her as the villain, but that actually kind of, like, puts it in a better context for me, because it's just like,
yeah.
But yeah, so I guess they chat. I mean, Carrie demands to speak to Stephanie as, like, Stephanie's setting up for, like, their... whatever they were doing. I don't even know. I guess we'll get to it next week. But
it was the Oklahoma like obstacle course or whatever.
Oh, the redneck relay, is that what they called it?
Yeah, she was like spray painting toilet seats or something,
and she's putting like whipped cream on like a tarp or something. I was like, what is about to go down? So like, here's a question, just to back up a little bit. So like, when they split up the girls, are you doing team wine? Are you going to Girls Gone Wine, or are you going to go fishing?
Well, I'm just going to go fishing, because like, we're going to drink wine later, you know?
Truly. And just, I don't know, like no shade, but just watching them make that like bootleg wine, that wine out of that, like that slap bag wine. Oh my God.
Slap the bag. Slap and that then bag. Your wine.
Oh my God. I was like, I can't handle this.
Is this like where Franzia is made?
Most likely, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think they said something like, so like, yeah, there's like the normal process for making wine, and this is like the quick way to do it. And I was just like, do not drink that. Oh my God.
I want the quick way. Wow. Any closing thoughts on Dallas?
Where do I begin? I mean, I've committed so much. I'm like 13 episodes in, like I'm going to finish the season.
At this point, I think you have to make it to the reunion.
100%, obviously. Yeah. So Dallas is like maybe like on the verge of getting chopped entirely, or do you think it's like, what's the word on the street?
I mean, their ratings are really bad.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it doesn't have any good like social media conversation compared to like a Salt Lake City, where like the ratings are bad because they were airing it at 10 p.m. But like,
yeah,
it has a lot of good buzz.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. Nobody's really, it's not really crucial to the conversation like the other franchises are.
But at the same time, like also, I imagine they're not spending money on Dallas like they're spending in other cities.
Sure. Sure. I don't know. I'm curious. Like, what if they, in my opinion, it's like, yeah, keep Tiffany. Oh yeah. We never really like fully talked about Tiffany. I mean, Dr. Tiffany, she's like, I think it's like a Herculean effort on her part to navigate through this season.
Yeah.
And I think personally, I mean, like, has she been perfect? No. Are there little like annoying moments where you're just like,
she's annoying. Yeah.
She's annoying, but like she's owning it. And like, I don't know. I think Austin was such a turning point where she like jumped in the lake and then had that moment. That was like a very real, like a nice kind of like reset for Tiffany. I don't know. I think she's doing great. And just given the circumstances and all the bullshit she has to navigate through, it's like, I don't know.
But I'm glad she's annoying, because if she wasn't annoying, it'd be like, what are you even doing here? Her being annoying, like, brings her, like, makes her like a reality television character.
100%. 100%.
Otherwise, like, you're just an anesthesiologist who's on this show for some reason.
Right. And like, it's her first season. So you do kind of need like the first season edit of just like, how am I going to fit into this group of girls? You know what I mean? Just like, you know, navigating like a new group of friends. I don't know. So I think she's doing great. So
all right,
I'm going to keep it up.
Let's go to your home, New Jersey. So in case anyone does not know, James is from New Jersey. So he's truly bringing like the hometown perspective.
Yes. So I'm from New Jersey. I grew up in Bergen County, which is where most of it still takes place. But my, long story short, my grandparents lived in Franklin Lakes, which is very much where like seasons one, two. I mean, like, this is my part of Jersey. And like, watching Jersey will forever feel like home. Always, you know? So, and I've done a pretty good job of keeping up with it over the season. So like, I think season six, I don't know if I like fully watched it, but you know, who did? So, so we're still down the shore and I love it.
Oh my God.
I love being down the shore.
I'm having so much fun down here. Despite the fact that COVID does not exist.
COVID doesn't exist down the shore. Sure.
I think that the salty air like kills the COVID.
Ask the ladies and they'd probably say that. So, you know, that's their scientific response. I'm loving, I gotta say, this is just like a Jersey Shore tangent that I feel like you will appreciate and understand as a Jersey Shore person. I'm loving being on the Toms River side, you know?
Oh, interesting. Cause like, when I saw that they were in Toms River, I was like, how do they even have like in my brain, Toms River is like a community that people live year round.
Yes. It's like, it is a proper, it's like a pretty big town, just like in kind of like coastal Jersey, but it's, for those folks who don't know Jersey, it's kind of like, it's
inland
Jersey, but I guess there's part of Toms River that is on the bay, which is where all of these women have their houses, right?
Yeah.
And like,
well, so Joe and Melissa used to have their house on the bay, but like on the part that juts, that's like hanging out in the ocean, and they were facing Toms River instead.
Interesting. I always thought, I remember that house, but I always thought it was on the Toms River side. Okay, so they went from...
I could be wrong. Maybe, I thought they were like not in Toms River before.
Yeah, who knows? Wrong. But it's like, you know, I don't know, growing up, like the snobbery of just like, you know, you want to be on the beach side, right? You want to be on the barrier island that is easy access to the beach. So because for these women to actually get to the beach, if they wanted to go lay out on the beach, that's like a good like 20, 25 minute drive. You know, you got to like get to the causeway, you got to go over the bridge, you got to like find parking, you got to like get your sandwich and like, you know, all that. So
you got to get a beach tag.
You better have that beach tag in Jersey. Let me tell you. So, but anyway, I just like something about understanding it as like kind of like boat lifestyle. You know, it's like watching them just kind of like jump in the boat. They're like boating to lunch, you know, like, I think I kind of like understood it more. And I was just like, I'm loving this community now, you know?
Isn't it interesting that Dolores and Frank have a house in Point Pleasant Bayside?
Point Pleasant Bayside. Yeah. Like they all prefer Bayside.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And like, honestly, like, you can probably get more house on the Bayside. So like if you have a big family, for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, yeah.
So anyway, long tangent, but I'm loving being down the shore. I'm loving being in Toms River, to be honest.
Okay. So where they dined in this very last episode, Il Mondino is a place I've gone to with my family and Alex and had an allergic reaction there.
I just need to catch my breath. Because I was like, I wanted to talk to you about, it's either Il Mondino or La Mondina. I can't remember.
But Il Mondino.
Il Mondino. Okay, so like, for the listeners, you have two Jersey, well, you're not Jersey, but well, you're Jersey.
I am Jersey-ish. You're like, Jersey,
like,
my parents.
By osmosis. Like, I mean, but you have like two tri-state Italian boys here talking.
But also like we grew up, like even when we were in Staten Island, we grew up going down the shore.
Sure.
Like during the summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're Jersey for sure. So wait, you had an allergic reaction at this restaurant?
Okay. So this is what happened at Il Mondino. When I'm at an Italian restaurant, I am Delicious.
Yep.
So I must have so I don't know what I got for my entree. I can't even remember that. But my appetizer, I got it. I got the clams appetizer, which was like clams in like a white broth with like leeks. Not something that would have cheese in it.
Sure.
Am I right?
Absolutely not.
With a side, and it comes with like a toasted bread. And the bread was like a normal piece of toasted bread. I figured out what probably happened. They probably sprinkled some cheese on the toasted bread.
Lights out. Forget about it.
So actually what's funny is normally when I have an allergic reaction, it happens right away. But I just like eat this whole thing, eat my dinner. We get home and I start feeling like short of breath. But like, I don't even like know what's going on.
Yeah.
We have like some ice cream. We're hanging out. I go to sleep. And while we are sleeping, I like completely have the allergic reaction. So it must have been such a minuscule amount of cheese that like my body was just like digesting.
It was like a latent reaction. Out. Yeah, it had to like fully digest for it to register in your system.
Normally it's like it touches my lips and I have it. So it must have been so minimal.
Right.
So I wake up. Alex is dead asleep. Doesn't even know what's going on. I'm like, I go downstairs. I'm looking for Benadryl. Like, obviously, this isn't a house I live in, so I don't know where anything is. I'm looking for Benadryl. I can't find it. Like, I call my mom because, like, she's asleep in her bedroom. She comes out. I'm like, I need Benadryl. I can't breathe. And she's, like, rustling through the house. My sister hears us. She comes out. My dad wakes up. He's like, no, we can't find Benadryl. My dad goes and drives to 7-Eleven, gets Benadryl. All this is going on. Alex is dead asleep the whole time.
Oh, my God.
So we tell him the next morning, and he's like so embarrassed that he didn't even know that I was like dying.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is what goes on down the shore.
That is wild. I mean, first of all, I'm very glad you're okay.
Yeah,
live to tell the tale. But you have the fact that you have a personal connection to Il Mondino down the shore. I mean, we should write a book, because like my family grew up going to Lunello in Cedar Grove, New Jersey, which is where the table flip happened, season one. Like 100%.
Like, hands down. Shut the fuck up.
And a lot of the Italian joints that, like, the original girls used to go to in, like, seasons one and two, like, totally, like, went to many of those growing up.
I know. I would, like, if you're from Franklin Lakes, I would imagine, like, there are so many hotspots featured on the show.
Oh, 100%. There's a scene where Caroline is having lunch with her sisters in an early season, and, like, she orders, like, that little, like, Coke with a little red wine. That's at Savini, where my sister had her rehearsal dinner for her wedding. I mean, it's like, I'm like fully enmeshed. So anyway, you and I are going to do a bus tour of Jersey Italian restaurants.
Yes.
Okay.
Where down the shore are you like familiar with?
I mean, like growing up, we kind of like bopped around. Like my family, like we didn't have a house or anything growing up.
Yeah.
But especially like once we got to high school, like my sister and I had like friends that, you know, had houses. Like my best friend from high school had a house down in Long Beach Island, which is like south of
further,
where these folks are. But like, I'm familiar with like Point Pleasant. I'm familiar with Toms River. I'm familiar with Seaside, like kind of, you know, your house is in, you go down to like Manispawn?
In between.
Manilocan?
Manitoloking. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So boring for the listeners. We're just like talking about like Jersey stuff.
No.
But yeah, no, familiar with the Jersey Shore. And this just, I don't know, it just like brought back good memories of just like, you know, finding the sun down the shore.
How do you feel about the annual Joe and Melissa rehearsed storyline?
I am so tired. I was just like, this is variations on a theme. We have been doing this since they got on the show. Just like,
I love it. I don't even care. I'm like having the time of my life.
Oh, 100%. Like,
oh, okay.
And again, it's like variations on a theme. So each time it like manifests in like a different way, but it's just like all boils down to like Joe's a misogynist. Like, you know, Melissa's trying to like escape this prison and like bloom, you know what I mean? And it just like, it just manifests in different ways. You know what I mean? Like, I did love this like manic, like Melissa walked away from Joe at the host stand, and then Joe was like flipping. I mean, yeah. It's just like insane, you know?
So like, to me, what's funny is the narrative of like, okay, they speak in code in terms of like, oh, Melissa is like wants to be a businesswoman and like spread her wings. But what we're saying is she is famous on a show now.
Sure. Sure.
So like, okay, so Joe's upset about that, but like, Joe, you too are famous on a show and you love being famous on a show.
100%. Like, I mean, the crazy thing about Jersey is just like how involved the husbands are. I mean, it's wild. Yeah. I mean, there should be like 16 people holding tomatoes. It's just like the guys are so involved. So yeah, to your point, it's like, Joe, like you are benefiting off of this just as much as Melissa, you know what I mean? So like, let's call a spade, you know, like.
Yeah. Okay. The Margaret versus Jennifer thing. It's tough. Cause like what Jennifer said was so terrible. Right. In terms of like, oh, like your sloppy moments, like blah, 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 blah. And then like Marge going for Jennifer so hard is like not a great look for Marge.
Correct. I mean, like,
And when they're fighting and like making their points, it's like, what is even the point? Cause Margaret can like articulate a point.
Yes.
Whereas like Jennifer's not, we're not like fighting fire with fire.
Correct. I mean, like Jen was, I mean, like it was Jen's was so baseless and so mean and just so irrelevant. I mean, it was irrelevant, right? It was just like not, you know, and then Margaret, unfortunately, just kind of like met Jennifer where she was, you know, you know, it was just like the two almost like, not that they canceled each other out, but after, I mean, it was just like, it's a moot point after that. Cause you're just like, you both kind of like went too low. And now it's like, what are we to do with this? Like as a viewer, you know?
Yeah. What do you make of like the Teresa Jackie stuff?
I mean, it's like, I think you were talking about this last week. Like we are watching Teresa just with this whole like Jackie arc regress to a point that we have not seen her since like those like Teresa monster seasons, like 3, 4, 5, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to just, you know, like Teresa's apology to like Jackie and like Teresa's apology to, what's his name? Evan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we've been watching Teresa, like, Teresa cannot apologize to save her life. I mean, it's just, like, it is not in her DNA, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, what do I make of it? I mean, it's, I feel like it was played out to the point where I think hopefully both parties realize, like, we cannot chew on this anymore. Like, it's kicked. Like, let's move on, you know? But, like, Tree continues to do Tree, you know? And
It just made me feel sad for, like, Jackie and Evan.
Sure. Sure. 100%. Yeah. I feel that.
Just in terms of like them playing along and being like, yeah, it's over. Like we're put like, and then like flashing back, we are done with this woman.
Like, well, yeah. Cause I mean like I mean, again, they are very much oil and water. And like for someone like Jackie to have to like try and hold a fight or hold a conflict with someone like Teresa. I mean, it must just be like so beyond frustrating. And like, yeah, to have to just be like, oh, I'm going to kind of acquiesce and I'm just going to like be like, okay, we're going to like make peace here. It must be difficult for someone in Jackie's position because like Teresa was a monster, you know?
Well, she has to because if she wants to be on the show.
Yeah, totally. Because like,
so
as you guys have said,
what option do you have?
Teresa's not going anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
For sure, you know?
But speaking of Nono's memorial service.
Oh, I thought it was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it.
I was tearing up. I mean, the COVID horror of it all. I mean, is notwithstanding. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just the thing, you know. After so many seasons with these women, and specifically with that family, you know.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's the thing. Is like Teresa's not going anywhere because of this. It's like we are following your family now.
Yes. Yes. And it really just like, it boiled it down to like what Jersey was all about in the beginning, right? It was just all about family. Like it was about Italian families for the most part, you know?
Yeah. And I do think like us, like Teresa found this man at the right moment. Cause like laying the groundwork of like the still to come this season with Louis and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that will carry her forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the chapters of it all seem very clean, right? It's like, she kind of like wrapped up air quotes, this thing with Jackie and Evan. She kind of like, you know, said goodbye to Nono. And then now
divorce
it's on
Joe.
Divorce Joe. That's done, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's on to, I guess, new conquests, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Interesting. And interesting to kind of set it up for the rest of the season. But I'm still having so much fun in Jersey. It's just...
I know.
It's that good this season, you know?
I mean, right now, like, of what is currently airing, like, Jersey is the highlight. Aside from Summer House.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Summer House. How are you feeling? Do they sell lover boys in California is first and foremost the question.
First and foremost, I believe the answer is still no.
A tough market to crack.
I mean, based on what's going on this season, it seems like Kyle and Carl are having like severe distribution issues. So I would imagine getting product out to California might prove challenging to these boys. So
Sure.
No Loverboy in California. The one and only time I have had Loverboy is literally at your house. So
yes.
Which tracks. So Summer House. Wow. Let's get into it. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like Summer House is another one I kind of dip in and out of. I think I had like a light bulb moment while watching Summer House. I've always kind of like struggled with like how to approach it. Cause I think because I tend to watch it like at the same time as I watch Housewives franchises, it's like,
okay.
I realized like catching up this week, I was like, I have to watch it differently. Like Summer House, especially this season, to me, it's like, it's real world.
Yeah.
You know? And for some reason, I think my brain tries to process it a la Housewives, you know?
Okay.
And something about this, I was just like, no, it's real world. It's a bunch of people, especially this season with COVID. Like,
yeah.
They are cooped up in a house. It is like younger people, you know, kind of like our age people. But, you know, like 30-something folks like stuck in a house and shenanigans ensue. You know, it's just a different angle in a way, you know.
See, I mean, so this week we're not recapping the latest episode just because of time zone constraints. So we're just talking about it in general and James's perspective. But I do want to say in terms of like this season and COVID, like whereas COVID has hurt the Housewives, I think COVID has only helped Summer House.
I would agree. I think like these people do well or perform better in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
24/7, like Big Brother real world style setup. And I think like I'm enjoying it more than other times that I have tried to watch Summer House. Like I've always like had a good time.
It's
always like,
yeah.
It's always very like, it's low investment for you. I'm just kind of like, oh, like, you know,
yeah.
Folks in the Hamptons. Cool. I get it. But like, I don't know. This seems to have a little bit more, it's just gelling a little bit more, it seems. And it might be the consistency of filming, maybe just like, you know,
yeah. I mean, Andy has announced that we are getting a true Summer House reunion. I mean, we've had, last year was a Zoom reunion. The year before there was no reunion. The year before was like a Watch What Happens Live reunion. So we are getting like a true sit down.
Like a true blue reunion. Yeah. Great. That's exciting. Yeah. Especially after this season. My goodness.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting because they will be filming this reunion after having filmed Winter House, which is kind of like Jersey season 3 filming their reunion after wrapping on season 4 of Jersey.
So wild.
Yeah.
So
like,
wild.
How do you navigate talking about like a chunk of material when you have more recently lived something else?
It's challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's difficult. Yeah. I'm curious how that will like, how that will manifest. And remind me, who went to Winter House?
So it's pretty much everyone except for Hannah. And I think Hannah might be the only one.
Wow, really? That's a lot of people.
So it's everyone else plus, I think, two guys from Southern Charm.
Wait, so it's all those Summer House people and then two guys from Southern Charm?
Minus Hannah.
So very much weighted Summer House versus Summer Charm.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's literally only two guys from Southern Charm, but like the Southern Charm cast is such like an amorphous thing in my brain that like there could be like nobodies on that cast that like finagle their way into Winter House.
I have not seen a single frame of Southern Charm, nor do I plan on it. So
yeah, no.
Good luck and Godspeed, honestly. Yeah. Like, yeah. But yeah, no, it's been, from what I've seen of this season, I've seen most of this season.
Who are you liking? Who are you vibing with?
Who am I liking? Who am I vibing with? First of all, I mean, like, I don't know if I'm like vibing with him necessarily, but just like Carl's journey this season has just been very, it just like, I don't know. It's heartbreaking and it's, you know, it's all the things. And just to see him kind of have like a full kind of like human real person arc of just like these things that are happening in his life and how he's navigating it. I mean, like that helps like kind of like ground the show in a way. Cause if it was just like entirely just like playing beer pong with a lover boy and like Kyle blacking out. I mean, it's just like, you know, I understand your love for Kyle and Amanda.
Okay. You do.
I understand it. Yeah. I'm not going to meet you where you are, but I understand it. Yeah.
What do you understand exactly?
I think they are very, like, they're so central in a way, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think they, I don't know if they're like the glue, that's like kind of a cliche way of putting it, but they're just, they seem like so like the nucleus of that house in a way, you know?
I think part of it for me is like, we have gone through tough times with the two of them. So to see them like so on the same page this year is very heartwarming.
Sure. 100%.
Yeah.
I want to see more from Danielle.
You know?
I just feel like we haven't gotten to see enough of her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such an interesting cast of characters. I mean, it's something for everyone in a way.
Yeah. Because there are like, for everyone.
There's truly something for everyone. Like Paige and Hannah, like, I don't know, they're fine. I mean, like Hannah, whatever. Paige is cute. Like, I don't know. Hubbard seems activated on and on and off, you know? But yeah, no, I'm having a much better time with Summer House than previous times that I've kind of attempted to watch it. So, I don't know. Maybe it's this setup. Maybe it's something for them to keep in mind. Cause like, you know, just the consistency of filming might do good things for them. So,
well, I can't wait to serve you another lover boy when you come back to the East Coast this summer.
I can't wait.
But why don't we wrap things up with the Freak of the Week and the One True Queen. This week, our Freak of the Week is one Kelly Killoran-Bensimon for trying to do something on TikTok.
What she tries to do, unclear. But
so we're making references to season 3 Roni moments. And one of the TikToks seems to be trying to integrate the release of some some brand or product. I'm going to play a short clip right here.
Hey guys, hey, it's Kelly from Lauren Bensimon. You're up here? We're all up here. And I'm actually just starting my season 4 of Paula Georges on Bill by KKB, and I decided to take You're Up Here and I'm Down There to my collection for Onville because...
Okay, and she's kind of just mumbling through, like, what she's selling?
Yeah, I mean, when she gets to the point where she actually has to, like, name the product, like, sell the garment, it is 100% mumble mouth, and she's just like, KKB, like blah blah blah.
And let's all hug.
And then, I mean, she's obviously referencing the iconic,
yeah,
I'm up here, you are down here.
Yeah, but yeah,
it seemed like in the middle she also switched those two. She was just like, you're up here and I'm down here. Like, she was,
yeah,
she was all over the ice.
She was up here, she was to the left, she was to the right.
She was over there, she was selling her sweaters down the block, you know, she's like running through traffic. Wow. Yeah. Kelly.
Okay, so let's kick it over to the one true queen, someone who is selling the garment, and that is one Britney Spears, encouraging all of us to go get vaccinated. I think filmed by boyfriend Sam, recounting her experience getting vaccinated.
All right, so what'd you think of the vaccine?
Okay, the people on the internet said it was really, really bad. It was like a bullet going through your arm. It was nothing. I felt nothing. I'm fine, and I hope I continue to stay fine.
I'm fine.
Okay, so she heard on the internet that it was getting, like getting a bullet through her. A bullet through her arm. I don't think I heard that reference.
I would like to speak with the people who, upon injection, felt a bullet go through their arm. I don't know. I mean, like, we all have our experiences. I mean,
okay,
you and I are fortunate enough to have gotten our first dose. So it's like,
yes.
I mean, yeah, did I have like sore arm the next day? Sure. But like, certainly.
But the shot itself was no bullet. No, but I love her just like encouraging people to go get vaccinated. But I also love seemingly like for someone of such status and like notoriety to be getting her vaccine like amongst us people who have been waiting for a while.
100%. Seems like it. Yeah. And she was like in the video, she has like, you know, the kind of like paperwork in her hand that they give you, you know, like the information about the vaccine, like truly relatable queen.
Yes. A queen of the people.
A queen of the people using her platform. Go out and get vaccinated, folks. Do it.
Wow. James, what an episode this has been. Before we let you go, we just need to remind the people over on Patreon, we had a fun time in our pre-show. We also have Brendan, if you've missed him, recapping Waking Up in the Morning, Thinking of So Many Things with me in our bonus episode. In case you forgot, you need to run over to our Instagram account at Come Through Queen Podcast and like that Marge post.
Yes.
Comment in it, tagging a friend, and follow both Come Through Queen and Strand Bookstore in order to win a signed copy of Marge's new book. Hello.
Yes, enter to win.
Wow. James, where, if anywhere, can people find you online? Do you have any existence right now?
I mean, like, I've slowly been retreating from, like, traditional social media. Where can you find me? I'm on a great wine app called Vivino. You can find me there. It has a social component, I think. So look for me at Vivino.
You do love hearting and commenting on people's Venmo transactions as well.
That is true. If there's any social feed I'm on, it's probably Venmo. Just, I love seeing what people are up to during COVID, you know, what people, you know, just, I love just like transactions, you know? Okay. So anyway, but yeah, I creep around in the Come Through Queen Facebook group, which everybody should be a member of at this point. So if you're not, get a grip and get involved. So thank you so much for having me, Dan. It's been so much fun.
Wow. Well, like, comment, subscribe, heart share, retweet. Love us, please retweet. We'll see you next
retweet.
Week.
Bye. Love you, Brendan. Bye.
I wanna see ya come through, queen.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.